Behave in the evening. So the session we're going to talk to you about today is introduce Ops Manager 2012 and show you some of the new features that are going to be able to enhance your enterprise monitoring that you're doing today. My name's Justin Cook. I'm a principal consultant with Data3. I'm the national lead for our systems management and managed operating environment solution sets. I also represent Microsoft regularly in a technical pre-sales role as an optimized desktop virtual TSP. Co-presenting with me today is Noel Fairclough, who is also a consultant in our systems management and managed operating environment solution sets. So before we kick off, can I just see via a show of hands how many people actually run Ops Manager 2007 in their environment today? That's awesome. That's a significant number of people in the room. So hopefully you guys will, by the end of this session, see how valuable the new features are going to be and how much value they're going to add to your organization, but also how easy it is for you to move from your current environment to Ops Manager 12. So I'll quickly talk through the agenda. I'm going to introduce Ops Manager 2012 and show you how it adds significant value. Talk about the changes in the hierarchy, and this is going to be really important. Talk about some of the new changes that will enable you to extend the visibility into network, native network monitoring and also application level performance monitoring. Just demonstrate the new consoles, and show you how easy it is to author dashboards and present them in those different consoles. And then we'll walk through a pretty simple scenario that I hope aligns with most of the management groups that you've got deployed today that will show you how you can move from where you're at the moment across to 2012. So when we think about Ops Manager 2012 and the value that it adds, we can really break it down into three main areas. Firstly, the reduced total cost of ownership through changes in the management infrastructure. The ability now to get this holistic view of application health in your environment, and then also the simple and the powerful visualizations that are added to decrease the time to value. So what's that mean? Really, we're increasing the visibility of your IT professional in your organization, giving them easier access to the data that they require to perform the role within your business. And all that really means is it's going to reduce the mean time to recovery because the users have access to the data that they need quicker to troubleshoot. So we'll talk through each of these. Ops Manager 12 reduces the total cost of ownership because there's changes in the management infrastructure, and I'll show you that in a couple of slides. It simplifies the topology. So what that means is we can now have lower cost of hardware because the topology is simpler. And that also means there's less maintenance and less configuration associated with setting up your management group. There's a much more reliable monitoring environment, especially when we start to talk about cross-plat devices or network devices. So it means that there's going to be no blackouts in monitoring now. And during one of the demos, we'll show you what that means. And there's a consistent operational continuity. So that means now the focus can shift from your IT staff having to spend more time troubleshooting to having more time available to provide innovation to your IT. So what I've got here is it's just a traditional or a typical management group that we'd see in an Ops Manager 2007 environment. We've got a couple of management servers. We've got a clustered root management server, your Ops Manager database, your data warehouse database, and a number of agents that report health back to those management servers. So if we focus in on the root management server, what does that actually provide to our management group? Firstly, it's the only server in your management group that runs the SDK service. And for our Ops Manager consoles, they need to connect to the SDK, so obviously we need that root management server online. It's responsible for delivering all the alert notifications. That's our SMS notifications, email notifications, instant messenger notifications. It's a central concentration point for connectivity to other management systems through the product connector framework. It's responsible for all the health aggregation, particularly with your distributed application models. And it's responsible for group membership calculations. And a large environment where you've got thousands of groups, every time we kick off a group membership calculation sync, that's going to add a significant amount of load. So what are the challenges with having this root management server? Firstly, it's an absolute performance and scalability bottleneck. And when you're designing a management group, you need to factor that into your design. So the result is we really need high-end hardware. We're going to need a lot of RAM, and we're going to need a lot of processor to make that root management server run well and make our consoles run well. Because the users are going to complain about the product if they get lag within their operations console. And if we want high availability, we're going to have to rely on either some sort of server clustering, using Microsoft Server Clustering, or if you want to virtualize a root management server, you could rely on the high availability that's provided as part of your virtualization platform. But that in itself introduces some additional complexities when you're designing the root management server. So let's have a look at Ops Manager 12. Firstly, it provides high availability out of the box. And if we look at the image up on the screen, what you'll notice is the root management server is gone. No longer do we have this single point of failure in your management group, because what we get now is we have the SDK running on all management servers in the management group. Now, if you've got your consoles connecting to your management servers, you can either manually balance those console connections across management servers, or if you want, you could use network load balancing or some sort of hardware load balancing device to sit out in front that could then balance your console connections across your management servers. So the great thing about that is we can now run our management servers on more commodity-type hardware. We don't have to make this major investment in hardware so that we can cluster, shared storage, etc. As we need to add additional management servers to pick up some additional load or to support our consoles, we can just scale out and introduce new management servers into the management group. So I'll just quickly talk about what happens when a management server or a root management server fails with regards to an agent in Ops Manager 2007. Say, like in the scenario here where we dropped a management server, sure, our agents would fail across the other management servers, but if there were any workflows running on that failed management server or root management server, they would be lost. The agents would fail across and they would start monitoring again, but the executed workflows would be lost. So in Ops Manager 12, not only will the agents fail across when we lose a management server, but workflows running will also fail across. Can I see a show of hands how many people in the audience that have Ops Manager 2007 today actually monitor network devices or cross-platform devices? So those guys that have raised their hands would appreciate that if you lose a management server in Ops Manager 2007, for your network devices and your cross-plat devices, there's a manual step involved in actually moving those management servers across to another primary management server. And that can be a bit of a pain, because this is where I talked about that monitoring blackout. In Ops Manager 12, Microsoft have introduced this concept of a resource pool. So you can think of a resource pool really as just a group of management servers that provide monitoring capability to our SNMP and our cross-plat devices. So now, when we configure a discovery and we target monitoring at a particular set of devices, we use a resource pool to monitor those devices as opposed to an individual management server. So the important thing here is all the management servers that are running within the resource pool are talking to each other, and they know when a management server is lost. So here what's happened, we've lost a management server running in that resource pool. The other management servers say, hey, I know that management server is offline, so I'm going to grab its workflows and stand them up, and I'm going to take over responsibility of monitoring those network devices at least until that management server comes back online. So I've shown you how the changes to the management infrastructure can reduce the total cost of ownership and simplify the solution. But now, Ops Manager 12 introduces this holistic view of application health monitoring. And certainly in the past, you know, we've got access to all the components that we want to use or that we want to monitor as part of an application. You know, things like our databases and our websites, components that make up our apps. Now we can get additional information about network devices and also application performance monitoring. And we get this view all within a single console. So that's really important. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been troubleshooting performance of an application where it's come down to a network issue. So we've got a switch that's perhaps connecting a number of devices together that has performance issues. So now having that access to that data in the single console means that we can troubleshoot performance issues quicker. There's much more reliable information, particularly with our application-level performance monitoring. So we can monitor the performance of our server-side components, but also our end-user experience. And I'm going to show you that during the demo. We can create personalized views to provide access to information that's relevant to us quickly. And we also can create these dashboards that now can be presented consistently across the thick console, the web console, and also SharePoint using the dashboard viewer web part, which Noel's going to demonstrate for you later on today. So when we talk about visibility, it's important to note and understand that Microsoft take enterprise-level monitoring seriously. So if we take a little step back in time, when SCOM 2007 came out, Microsoft introduced this concept of a distributed application model. Now, the distributed application model was a way that we could take a set of components that we know make up an application or a service that we present to our end users and grouping them together. What that meant was if we lost a website, sure, we'd get an alert in the ops console, but using the distributed application models, we could understand the true effect and the impact that that loss of that website has on our environment. And that's really important. Ops Manager 07 also introduced the concept of a synthetic transaction. So the ability to record a transaction or a series of transactions that we could replay on a schedule. Now, in addition to having a series of steps, and it could be just accessing a web page, logging in, running a search, we can record expected results and also the time that we expect that transaction to take to complete. So if the transaction doesn't complete successfully or doesn't complete within the specified time, we're going to generate an alert. Then with R2, Microsoft introduced the cross-platform monitoring, the ability to monitor operating systems that are non-Microsoft, your HP UX, Sun Solaris, AIX, Linux, and these are continuing to grow. Now with 2012, the introduction of native network monitoring and .NET J2EE application monitoring support, we're really able to capture all components within our network that are part of providing services to our users. So let's have a quick look at network monitoring before we get into a demo. We can think of four key components of the network monitoring. There's a discovery process, the monitoring piece, visualization, how we present that data to our users, and of course reporting that's natively available in the product. Let's quickly talk about some discovery rules. In Ops Manager 07, when you want to monitor network devices and you want to discover network devices, you go and create a one-time discovery rule that is executed. That could include targeting an IP address, a range of IP addresses, or a subnet. We punch in an SNMP community string, we run that discovery, and it pulls us back a list of network devices. We can go and select the devices we want to monitor, and we're done. With Ops Manager 12, we now create discovery rules that run on a schedule. So we can create the discovery rule with all the properties of the discovery that we want. And then as our network team goes and adds network devices to the environment, so long as they're configured to our SNMP standard, which includes allowing our management service to talk to the devices and configuring the right community string, we can automatically pick it up and just start to monitor it. It's also important to note they've included the ability to not only target specific devices through an explicit discovery rule, but we can now have a recursive discovery rule. And this is really important. So what it means is we could target a specific device, say a router, and we're going to show you this in the demo, and just say, hey, I'm going to target you. You go and tell me what's on the network. And it will crawl the network, find all the devices, get a match on the community string, and bring back the information not only about the device, but how the devices are connected together, which ports are connected to which ports, where they lie in the environment, and it'll present you a logical representation of your network map. That's really valuable, particularly if you lose a site link, we can see which devices are going to be affected by the loss of that link. They also introduced multi-protocol support. So Ops Manager 07 included SNMP support for V1 and 2C. Microsoft now include SNMP V3, but in addition to that, ICMP. So you can now target and monitor devices simply for availability using ICMP, but you can use that even for devices that support SNMP so that we can measure our round trip. Just expect the normal monitoring. We get availability monitoring, we get performance monitoring, and we'll show you some of those details. But it's multi-vendor too. Microsoft have committed to supporting over 80 hardware vendors by the time at RTMs. So that's a significant number of vendors and products in our market today. There's not a complete list available at the moment. They said you can expect to see all of our major players in there. But prior to RTM, there will be an official list of manufacturers that are supported will be made available. There's a number of new dashboards, and I'm going to quickly talk about them on the next slide. But you get your typical views as well. So when the management pack's imported, you get your diagram, your alerts, your performance, and your state views. And of course, there's a number of reports available. So what's monitored? Obviously, we're going to monitor our network interfaces. We're going to monitor whether they're up and down. But it's smart enough to know that if a port is administratively shut down, we don't care about it. We don't want to monitor it. It'll monitor the volumes of inbound and outbound traffic, percentage utilization of that interface, and also drop and broadcast rates. Monitor processor utilization, memory utilization, and if you've deployed Cisco devices in your environment, there's going to be a number of additional in-depth memory counters for your Cisco devices as well. The last slide before the demo is the new network dashboards. Firstly, there's a network summary dashboard. And for any network guys in the audience, the network summary dashboard is a view that you want to jump into as the start of each day. It's going to show you the top 10 devices in your environment that have processor utilization issues, top interfaces in your environment that have utilization issues, top alerts within the environment. So you can get a quick high-level view of the potential troublesome devices that are deployed. Then there's a network node dashboard that's a dashboard that gives us specifics about a particular network device. Network interface dashboard, obviously the specifics about a particular network interface in a specific device. And then the vicinity dashboard, which is the logical representation of how the network devices are deployed in our environment and connected together. With that, I'd like to hand over to Noel for our first network monitoring demo.
Thanks, Justin. Okay, so as you can see, here I am in the Operations Manager console, and I'm in the administration workspace. We have a new section here called Network Management, and under that we have Discovery Rules. So I'm just going to right-click and launch the Discovery Wizard to start creating my new Network Discovery Rule. The wizard looks very similar to the Discovery Wizard in SCOM 2007. So if we select Network Devices, click Next, and let's give our network discovery rule a name. Call it TechEd Network Discovery Rule. Now, we need to pick a management server. And we're selecting this management server because this management server is going to run the discovery rule for us. Now, it's important to note that in Ops Manager 2012, each management server can only run a single discovery rule. We're going to select our management pools. In this case, I'm going to select the SNMP resource pool. Now, our management server is part of this resource pool, but if this were a production environment, we can add and remove our management servers to the resource pools as needed. Click Next, and we're going to pick our discovery type. So as Justin mentioned before about recursive discovery, how it targets a device and then asks that device to find out what's on the network for us, that's what we're going to pick. Now, with the default run as accounts, as it's asking us for here, things have changed in Ops Manager 2012. Previously, in SCOM 2007, the SNMP community string was embedded as part of the discovery. But in Ops Manager 2012, it's now part of a run as account. And to create that, we just simply click Create Account, go through the wizard. Now, you'll see here for the run as account type, it's asking us for a community string, and we can't change that. So if we were to give our account a name, and click Next. For the credentials, it's going to ask us for the SNMP community string, and that's where we would put it in. But here's one we created earlier, so I'll just select that. Go through the wizard. Now we can specify a device to target. In this case, I'm going to target the router, which is in our lab. 254. Now for the access mode, I'm going to leave it as multi-protocol, ICMP and SNMP. We have SNMP version 1 or version 2, but I think as Justin mentioned earlier before, we can select SNMP version 3 if we wanted to. I'll leave the port as default, and I'm going to pick the run as account we selected previously. Here I can target a specific IP range, subnet, or set of subnets if I wanted to scope my discovery down to a particular range. But in this case, I'm just going to leave it as discover all network connected devices. I can also create an exclusion filter. So if I wanted, if there was a device out there that I deliberately didn't want picked up in the discovery, this is where I would add it in. We can also set a schedule to run the discovery, but for the purposes of this lab, I'll just say run the discovery manually. We get the usual summary screen, and now that'll go ahead and create our rule for us.
Now it's important to note here, Noel mentioned the fact that we can only have one discovery rule running on a single management server at any one time. So if you've got a segmented network, in the instance where you might have devices sitting within a DMZ, and you've got devices in your production network, your options are you could create two discovery rules and have them running on different management servers, or, you know, traditionally devices in your DMZ don't change all that often. You could create a discovery rule and target it at that segmented network and let it run, and then delete it and create a new one to target at your production network. So you're not limited to that single rule.
So as we can see here, the discovery rule has now been created. I don't want to run the discovery rule as soon as I close this box. I'm going to untick that. Now if we go back, we can see our discovery rule has been created. What I'll do now is I'll kick this off manually. Now this is going to take a bit of time to crawl our network and discover our devices. So while that's running, let's look at some of the network views and network dashboards. So here we are in the network monitoring view in the monitoring workspace. As we can see, we have the views that we're used to in from Operations Manager 2007. We can see active alerts. We have a variety of different state views. But we also have some performance views. In the performance views, we can see things like free memory, ICMP ping response time, interface usage statistics, port usage statistics, and processor utilization. So this graph here is just showing us the ICMP ping response for our router. If this were a production network, we could look at our network devices through the network devices state view. Obviously, in our lab, we only have three devices, so it's not that big. But in a production network, you'd have hundreds, possibly thousands of devices in there. And that information can then be filtered down into routers, switches, and VLANs. Also, you should note, if you click on a device, it brings back a detailed view about about information that's on that device. So we can see things like the display name, the MAC address, other bits and pieces of information. Okay, if we click on the network summary dashboard, this gives us a high-level overview of the devices that are on the network. Again, we only got three devices on here, but in a production network, we'd see the top 10 devices that have the slowest response time for the previous 24 hours, high CPU utilization, and the highest processor highest utilization overall. Now, if we click on, say, a router, we can open up a network vicinity view, or network vicinity dashboard. Now, the network vicinity dashboard is a logical representation of devices that are on our network. This is information that's been discovered that's been brought in by the discovery rule. Ops Manager has now worked out the connectivity between those devices and has assembled this diagram for us. In the network vicinity dashboard, we have a few tools. We can zoom in, we can fit to screen. But interestingly, we can also see a different amount of hops. So we can see which devices on our network are connected to another device. Once again, if we click on the router, we can see information about that particular device in the instance details. But now, if we click a link between the two devices, we can see some additional information. Here we can see the two devices that are connected, 192.168.0.254, connected to 253. But also, we can see that on the 253 device, it's port 24 that's connected to this link. And on the 254 device, it's port 0. This makes it really easy for troubleshooting your network devices because you can instantly see which devices are connected to another device and on what port they're connected to. Now let's look at the network node dashboard. So if we click on our switch, We can open up the network node dashboard. And as you can see, I'm just continuously drilling down into the views. The network node dashboard, again, gives us the vicinity view that we've seen before. But it also gives us now some gauges on average availability. Again, some instance details. The average ping response time. This is from the performance view. We're looking at now processor utilization. We can see interfaces on this particular node and any active alerts that have been generated by this node.
So go back up to those interfaces, Noel. Why are some of the ports monitored and then there's a large number of them that actually aren't monitored?
That's a good question. This is because when Ops Manager does its discovery, it will only monitor ports that it finds that are connected to another network device or a WAN interface. However, if we wanted to monitor, like, say, a server or an important device, like a point-of-sale machine, then we'll just have to find the port that that device is plugged into, add that port to a group, and then Operations Manager will start monitoring it. However, one of the things that we don't want is to monitor every port of every switch, because, say, if a laptop user goes home, when they unplug, that's going to generate an error for us, and that's probably a sort of noise alerts that we don't want in our Ops Manager console. Okay, so now we have a port here which has a lot of traffic on it. Now, we're monitoring this port in our lab, and the reason for this is because this port here is connected to our Hyper-V backend. What we can do now is drill down even further into a... Where is it? Where'd it go? We want the network interface dashboard. So now we're looking at the details of this particular port. And we get back a wealth of information. We can see bits sent and received, packets sent and received. We can see some information about the port. So we can see here that, you know, we can see the connection type, we can see that it's full duplex, we can see the speed. We can see send and receive errors. We can see its current network utilization. And once again, we can see alerts that have been generated by this particular interface. Now, we've got all this information, but what about inventory? If we go back, I just closed it. If we go back to our Operations Manager console, and we'll go back into the monitoring workspace, we can bring up a diagram view. And once again, this is information that's been found by Ops Manager 2012, has been brought back in and assembled. And we can see devices that we've discovered and are currently being monitored. And we can see things like memory, ports, and processor. In addition to that, we can also see devices that Ops Manager knows about but aren't currently being monitored. Now, if we wanted to, we could write a custom management pack to extend Ops Manager's capabilities to start monitoring these devices. Now, you remember at the beginning of the demo, I set up the discovery rule. Let's see if it's run. And there we go. So now we can see our discovery rule was run at 8:39 a.m., which is when I kicked it off, and it's discovered three new network devices. Back to you, Justin.
Thanks, Mike. So you'd have to admit...
Hang on, it's four.
No, it's one.
It's one?
Here we go. Okay, you'll have to admit that's pretty powerful. The ability now to get that network data back into Ops Manager natively. I mean, I'm not a network guy, but having that data available for me is going to make my job as an IT admin extremely easy. Why do I keep losing that? We've lost our screen, mate.
There it is.
Right, it's back.
It's four.
Cool. Okay. So let's talk about .NET application monitoring. The ability now to get information about the performance and the health of our apps into Ops Manager. Now, certainly as an infrastructure guy, when we're trying to troubleshoot apps, especially if they're in-house developed, and we want to pass information back to the developers where we think there's actually an issue with their product, I need to make sure that the information that I've got is accurate, and I've got something that I can provide to them. And that's what we'll be able to do now with .NET Application Monitoring. So firstly, we can monitor our apps from both a server-side perspective as well as a client-side perspective. So when we're talking about server-side perspective, we're monitoring the server calls, the requests that happen between components in the server back-end of our apps, you know, between our web server and our database server. But we can also monitor client-side perspectives, so the interaction that the client's browser has with the application itself. So we can see the request coming from the client. And it really provides an insight into how our apps are performing. So when we do identify an issue, we're going to get an alert. It's going to give us some summary information about the fact that the application has breached a configured threshold. But if we jump across to the Alert Context tab, and I'll show you this in the demo, we can see some rich information about the request that took place, which request we think took an unacceptable amount of time to execute, and some details about that request. In addition to that, Ops Manager 12 includes a couple of new tools, the App Advisor and the App Diagnostics tool. I don't know if anybody in the audience has heard of the acquisition that Microsoft made earlier this year of a company called AviCode. AviCode previously was a tool that bolted on top of Ops Manager to do this type of monitoring. And with Ops Manager 12, through the acquisition, that functionality is now incorporated straight into the product. Now, in addition to that, Microsoft now support JEE monitoring out of the box. So we can now monitor application servers like WebSphere, WebLogic, JBoss, and Tomcat, where previously we would have to use some sort of third-party add-on to enable monitoring of those types of web servers. Now, all of those app servers are supported to be monitored on top of Windows-based servers, but currently, if you're running JBoss 5.1, it can be monitored on top of Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5, but expect this list to grow before the product goes RTM. Microsoft are committed to supporting these other app servers that do often run on non-Microsoft operating systems. So it's important that they can provide support to monitor that. So let's have a look at what's monitored. The way I like to explain JEE monitoring is very much like Ops Manager monitors IIS today. You know, we run a discovery, which is based on a discovery rule in the IIS management pack. It discovers our IIS servers in our environment, and then we go and run another discovery rule that discovers the websites that are hosted on those servers. It's very much the same. It's an automated discovery for the JEE app servers, and we monitor availability and performance. Then once we've identified servers that are running any of those JEE app servers, another automated discovery runs to identify the applications that are running on them, and we provide app availability and performance monitoring. So let me show you this. Okay. Firstly, if I jump into the monitoring workspace, I come up to my application monitoring, .NET monitoring, you'll see this new state view. This new state view returns all objects of a particular .NET application class that have been discovered in the environment. Now, at the moment, even though it's in a state view, we're not monitoring anything within there. It's purely just a discovery. So what I want to do is I'm going to go ahead and show you how we configure it. If I come into my authoring workspace, you'll see my .NET application performance monitoring. Go and add a new monitoring wizard. Select that particular monitoring type. Give it a name. Here's another change that I want to quickly point out. Have a look at the destination management pack. Previously with Ops Manager 07, I'm sure you were all aware the default management pack that would appear when you'd create an override was the default management pack. Saving an override or a new monitor or a rule in the default management pack was always a no-no. And the problem with that was if you created particularly an override and you ever wanted to go and export the management pack that override was created for, even if you deleted the override, it would leave behind some references to that management pack in the default management pack. And then it would mean you'd have to get into the XML, strip it out in order for you to export the other management pack. So the fact now that a user has to manually go and select a management pack is really valuable. So I can select the type of environment that I'm running. We'll say production. And the application components is going to show me any .NET app that has been discovered that we can start monitoring. So I'll select this Dinner Now app, which is a .NET app that we're going to demo. Now I can select the performance threshold that I want to configure. And at the by default, it's 15,000 milliseconds. And we can say we want to monitor both performance events and as well as exception events. Then if I want to monitor a client-side perspective, I can tick the box there, configure any pages that we might want to exclude from a client-side monitoring, because there will be pages that you know take a long time to execute that will continually breach that threshold. So you might just want to exclude them. Then when we get to the client-side config, again, we can set some performance thresholds. Now, I'm going to cancel that because I've already created one because we needed to collect some data over time. If I jump back into my monitoring workspace, we would now see that there's a new folder created for that application. At a high level, we can see any active alerts that have been raised for that application, the state view for that app, and then also our server-side perspective and our client-side perspective. And within these, we have performance data that's collected for that application. So I'm going to jump into my Dinner Now server, and I'm going to just recycle the application pool. I'll just go and launch it. Now, the reason I recycle the application pool, because as everybody knows, if you shut down your app pool, the next time you go and access that web service or the application that uses that app pool, it's going to take some time to start up. So that's effectively just forcing my application to breach the performance threshold that we've got defined. So as I try and open the default.aspx page here, it's going to breach that 10,000 milliseconds, which is what I had defined on the rule that I already created, and it's going to generate me an alert in Ops Manager. Okay, so here you can see Ops Manager has detected that there was a server performance exception. If I open that up, it's going to show me the page. The default.aspx exceeded the configured threshold. If I jump to product knowledge, I'm just getting some general information about what that event could mean. But as I mentioned earlier, the alert context tab is where we start to get some really rich information about what we're monitoring. So firstly, at the top of the alert context, you'll see we're sorting by slowest nodes, and you can see the number of calls that were made as part of bringing out that default.aspx page. And one of them was getting the restaurant categories. So you can see that took 15,609 milliseconds to execute, and that was in breach of the 10,000 milliseconds we had defined. Now I can come down into the details, and I can actually expand out that call itself, and you can see it's giving me more detail about exactly what's happening. Now, if that was a SQL query that was running, and the SQL query took an extended period of time to run, what we were seeing there is we would actually see the select statements and the calls of stored procedures. We can pass that information back to our developers and say, here's what Ops Manager's detected. We think there's a problem. Now, as an Ops Manager user, I can click on this link up the top here for additional information, and it's going to launch the application diagnostics tool. But it's going to focus on that particular alert. So what that will enable me to do is it'll present the same information that came through in my Ops Manager alert, but it's also going to group similar events together for that application based on the time window that I specify. You can see there's a number of times when that application has breached the performance threshold. Again, I can do related events based on a shorter window. It will also return distributed chains. At the moment, what you see is the default.aspx page because that was the page that generated the threshold breach. But if there was multiple pages that caused the breach, what you would see here is you would see an additional box beside it. It might be the launching of the search.aspx page, and it would show a relationship between them and where it thinks that the problem resides. Now, in addition to that, I can get some real-time performance counters. So if I come across here, I can click on a perf counter that I want to use, click apply, and you're going to see real time that it's added that data onto the graph for me. Okay, but say I don't want to give our developers access to the console. I can give them permission to access these additional two applications. Firstly, the application diagnostics tool. When I come into this tool, First of all, if I come down and select events, or come down and select the type of event will be based on a source and dinner now. If we had multiple apps, we could deselect the ones we didn't want and only select the ones we want. And then it's going to return all events that have occurred for that particular application over a specified time. So you can see there are a number of the default.aspx ones where we've just breached the threshold. But we've also got some critical errors down here. We can see here that the application pool was unable to open the dinner now database. We can go down and have a look at exactly what happened when it tried to open the database. And we're getting some real rich information about what's happening within our application. So that's great for our devs, but what about for our application owners? There's also this tool called the Application Advisor, and the App Advisor provides us reports that are based on the applications we're monitoring. So it gives us the ability to generate performance reports or just general health reports that don't give away too much information about what's happened under the hood that we can provide back to our users or our application owners. Let's just click on an app status report. Now, a number of these reports are available in the reporting workspace as well. Okay, so I'm going to say I'll want all types of status. I'm going to set my source to the Dinner Now app, and I'll just click Apply. I'll just take a moment to generate. And then it's going to deliver me a report that I could then save, email, print, and just pass on to my app owners. And that's really valuable to give them some information about what's happening with their application. So we can see the average CPU utilization, the average memory utilization, event count history, the number of requests, requests over time. There's a lot of information there, and also about the top number of events. Okay. So again, that's a really good feature, adding a lot of functionality to Ops Manager at no additional cost. No need to go and purchase these additional products now. It's incorporated into the product. So we've talked about the holistic view and the changes to the management infrastructure. There's also simple and powerful visualizations that decrease your time to value. So there's a real simple process now to create your own personalized dashboards through templates, but also widgets. I'll explain the widgets in a moment. And by enabling your users to personalize their own dashboards easily, it's just going to mean that it simplifies their experience within Ops Manager. And when they create these dashboards, or you create dashboards for them, there's a consistent presentation across all the different consoles. So what we're showing here is the network summary dashboard, and that's presented in a thick console. Here's the same dashboard presented in the web console. And then the same dashboard again presented using the dashboard viewer web part in a SharePoint site, which is part of our existing SharePoint infrastructure. So some of the changes to dashboards. Firstly, has anybody in the audience deployed the Service Level Dashboard 2.0 Solution Accelerator? Nobody. Okay. One of the challenges with the Service Level 2.0 Solution Accelerator was it was hosted on top of WSS3, and it was external to your console. So whilst it provided some really nice information about how you were performing against your defined service level objectives, you had to either go and load up that portal or create a web page view within the console. But the trouble with that was the portal didn't scale, so you'd have scroll bars in the console, and it just looked a bit nasty. With Ops Manager 12, service level dashboard functionality is built into the console, and then using the dashboard viewer web part, we can also publish it out to an existing SharePoint site if we want. And Noel's going to demonstrate that in the next demo. But Microsoft also introduced this concept of a widget. So a widget in relation to dashboards within Ops Manager enables us to create dashboards much quicker than we could do in 07. In Ops Manager 07, we would create a dashboard view and it would be made up of multiple cells. And then what we would do is we would link existing views into that dashboard so that we could have all of these dashboards on a single pane. That was great, I mean, it added a lot of functionality, but the existing view had to exist either in your monitoring workspace, or the user had to create the view in the My workspace. Now, using the widgets, you can create these views on the fly, really, really granular control over how the data is presented within the Ops console. At the moment, there's only three widgets available as part of the beta, and that's the alert, performance, and state widget, but expect more to come by the time the product RTMs. And I'll show you in the SQL dashboard that I'm going to present in a moment the types of widgets that you will expect to see. And there's a number of dashboards being created by both the product teams, so there'll be a number of dashboards available as part of the management packs, but also external partners are busy creating dashboards as well. So currently, the Exchange, the SQL, and the SharePoint teams are working on dashboards as part of their management packs for Ops Manager 12. Now, here's an example of how we can use widgets to create a dashboard with rich information for our users. So this is an example SQL dashboard that might ship with the SQL management pack. You can see we've got top SQL servers with most alerts, top SQL servers with highest CPU utilization, database state, and then we can have context-based menus based on, as we select different databases, it can present information about that database health. So with that, I'll hand back over to Noel so he can take you through the demo of the new dashboards.
Thanks again, Justin. Okay, so we're back in the Operations Manager console, and we're in the monitoring workspace. And as Justin mentioned, the service level dashboards are now included as part of Ops Manager 2012. We can see we get two dashboards out of the box. We can look at SLAs for the last 30 days, and we can also look at the last 7 days. So here you'll see we have our service level tracking objects. We've got, in this case, we have Active Directory Topology Root and our Ops Manager Management Group. We have our service level objectives. We have a little gauge on how we're tracking against those objectives. So as we can see, our target is 90%, but we're exceeding that by hitting 100%. If we look at our Ops Manager group, we can see we're still exceeding our target, but we're not 100%, and that's because throughout the demo we've been rebooting our Ops Manager box. Not today, but previously. In addition to the service level tracking dashboards, we can also create our own custom dashboards. Now, we've set up a custom dashboard template here, and we've saved it into the custom dashboard management pack that we created. But it's quite easy to create your own dashboards. You just start the dashboard view wizard, select the type of layout you want, whether you want column or grid, just give it a name, and you can select the layout that you want. So here's one we created earlier. Now let's add some widgets to create our own custom dashboard view. So for the first widget, let's add a state widget. And we'll call it SCOM State View. We can add the object that we want to add to this, or the objects that we want to add to this view. In this case, let's add our SCOM management server.
And while Noel goes and adds a couple of servers to this state view, it's important to note if you've already grouped your servers together, you have the ability to select an object group. So the group might contain all the servers that are part of our SCOM environment. So he could come in here and just select the group, and then when you create the widget, it will actually extract all the objects within that group and use them in the widget.
Okay, so I've just added two servers to the list, our SCOM management group and our SQL server, which has our data warehouse database on it. I'm going to leave this as all classes, but if I wanted to, I could narrow this down to a specific class of objects. If I wanted to display a specific health state, I could specify it here, but I'm just going to leave this blank because I want to look at all health states. Now, I want to see everything, and I want to sort by health. And that'll go ahead now and create that widget for us. And that's pulling information right now out of the database, and it'll generate a view for us. Now let's add another widget. This time I'll add the performance widget. And again, we just give it a name. select the object that we want to view the performance for. There we go. Now we'll add our performance counters. So I've added our Ops Manager management server. And say I want to view processor performance. And I want to view memory utilization. We can select the time range in which to view the performance over. The last 24 hours will do for the demo. And we can show a legend. So I want to see path and performance counters. And that'll go ahead and create that view for us. So you can see how easy it is to start creating really rich views. Now for this bottom section, let's add an alert widget. Once again, we just select our object. Just thinking about it. And now we want to select the type of alerts that we're interested in. I'm interested in all severity, all priority, but I only want to see alerts that have a resolution state of new. Again, we select the columns that we want to display. So I'm interested in severity, the name, the age of the alert, the path, and I want to sort by the severity of the alert. And that'll bring that information up. So within a few minutes, I've created a custom dashboard with the information that I'm interested in, just by following a few wizards. Now what I'm going to show you is how easy it is to... what I'm going to show you is how these dashboards port across to the web console and how easily they can be brought into a SharePoint portal so other users can view them. So here we are in our web console. If we open up our custom dashboard, it brings that view straight across as is. If I can click on the right one. Now, one thing to note is that the web console is now all Silverlight based as well. So there's our view. And it's the same thing for the service level dashboards. So what you see is what you get. The view comes across as expected. Now, what if we want to add this view to a SharePoint portal? Here we have a SharePoint Foundation 2010 server, and we've set up a couple of library web parts ahead of time. Now, say I want to add the SCOM dashboard to this web part. It's just a simple matter of editing the page, adding the correct web part, configuring the web part. We have to select our connection type. In this case, it's going to be a web console connection. And you'll see here there's a dashboard link field. All that needs to go in there is the URL of the view that you want. In this case, we're going to set up our custom dashboard. Just paste the link in. Give it a name. And just apply those changes. And straight away, it brings up that view on a SharePoint portal. There we go. So we can also do the same thing for the service level dashboard. It's just as easy. Go ahead and do that. So service level dashboard, edit page, add web part. Add the web part in, edit it. Select the web console connection. Grab the URL that I want. We just give it a name. And it brings up in a SharePoint portal. And that's how easy it is to create rich dashboards within a couple of minutes presented on SharePoint. And this is perfect for people who need access to this information but don't necessarily need access to the web console or to the Operations Manager console. Back to you, Justin.
All right, you've got to admit that's pretty slick. The fact that we can now present that information to our users using our existing investment that we might have in SharePoint. So now what I want to do is just walk you quickly through a scenario of how you can get from your current Ops Manager 2007 R2 environment to Ops Manager 12. The most important thing firstly is to get yourself to the right platform. You need to be running Ops Manager 2007 R2 64-bit on all of your infrastructure servers. That's infrastructure servers that are part of the management group. So what you'll see in this scenario here is the majority of the management servers, the RMS and the gateway, in this environment are 64-bit, but we've got one management server in this management group that's still 32-bit. It's pretty easy. All we need to do is introduce a new management server, bring in a 64-bit management server, rehome those agents across, get rid of the 32-bit management server out of our environment, and just put the 64-bit one back in its place. So now we're at the right starting point. We're ready to progress. The next thing we need to do is we need to upgrade a management server in our environment to Ops Manager 12. It can be any management server. The thing it can't be the root management server. That needs to wait till later. So we'll pick one, we'll run the setup on that box, and we'll upgrade it to Ops Manager 12. Now the first thing that's going to happen here is the agents that are reporting back to that management server are going to go into the agents pending view within the admin workspace of the console on your existing Ops Manager 2007 R2 console. So all we need to do is go in and approve the agent upgrade, and it'll bring those agents up to Ops Manager 12. The next thing we need to do is we need to upgrade management servers, gateway servers, and the agents to Ops Manager 12, but we're still not upgrading the root management server at this stage. So we'll go ahead, we upgrade all of them just by running setup and approving the agents upgrade. So now, we've got two options to us. First, if we want to keep our existing root management server in the management group, we can choose to upgrade it, and as part of that process, it'll demote the root management server and convert it just to a management server. And the second option is we can do the upgrade from a management server. So firstly, if we were to upgrade from the root management server, we'd run setup on the RMS. You see it converts it to an Ops Manager 2012 standard management server. And then the setup process will upgrade the Ops database and the data warehouse database. Now, as part of that upgrade process, the database schema changes significantly. And with that means your consoles that are 2007 R2 will no longer connect. So that's simple, just uninstall it and reinstall the new one. Then if we want to upgrade from a management server, so we want to get rid of the root management server, and that might be relevant for you, particularly if your root management server is currently clustered and you want to get rid of it. So let's just uninstall Ops Manager from that box and get it out of the management group. Next, we'll need to run setup again from an existing Ops Manager 12 management server so that we can upgrade the database schemas. So the setup will take care of that. Again, the console will no longer connect. And so we'll just reinstall it. Now, Ops Manager 12 also comes with an upgrade management pack to simplify this process. It's included in the installation media, you import it into your management group, and what it will do is it will provide you a series of views. And these are state views, and the state views are grouped by step. So what it will have is step one, management service, step two, gateway service, step three, RMS. And the management pack includes discovery rules. So the discovery rules will go and find all of the servers that are part of your management group that need to be upgraded to move to Ops Manager 12. So it's going to detect them and put them in the right view, so within the right step, so you've got an order by which you need to upgrade. And when they're running Ops Manager 2007 R2, they're going to be in the console in a warning state. Then as you walk through your upgrade process, it's going to convert them to healthy. And that's really helpful because it not only shows you which order you need to do your upgrade in, but it helps you track the progress of that upgrade. So quickly recapping, we've gone through some of the value that Ops Manager 12 is going to add. We introduced you to the new hierarchy, and finally, the root management server is gone. Showed you the visibility, how it's been extended with the native network monitoring and the application performance monitoring. We've gone through some dashboards and some consoles, and I've shown you how to upgrade from Ops Manager 2007 R2 to 12. So release dates. Beta 1 is available now. Beta 1 came out about 3 weeks ago, and it's available from Connect. And in one of the slides later, and you'll be able to grab the link is in there if you can't find it. And RTM is expected later this year. I would expect somewhere around late December. Plenty of, there's the link that you'll need to get access to the beta. And by all means, contact us if you've got any questions. Our email addresses are there. My Twitter handle's there as well. So with that, I'd just like to open up the floor to any questions that people might have. Yeah, mate. To support monitoring? Depends on the type of application. So there's an agent that gets installed on the server themselves, the application performance monitoring agent that is included as part of the operations manager agent. And when you start monitoring an application on one of those servers, that agent gets turned on. So it intercepts all the calls that are made to that application as well. Does that answer your question? There's no specific code changes. The agent just manages. What it does, it almost acts like a probe and grabs copies of the requests. Yeah, mate? Yep. So the question was, does the Ops Manager Data Warehouse integrate with the Service Manager Data Warehouse? With Service Manager 2012, the concept of the new System Center Data Warehouse is introduced into the product. And so what that gives us is the ability to connect to Operations Manager and pull data out of the Ops Manager Data Warehouse into the Service Manager Data Warehouse. And then we can use the OLAP cubes in Service Manager 2012 Data Warehouse to manipulate and generate reports on that data. So, yeah, yes, it does. There's still two separate data warehouses at the moment. I've actually asked that question. With 2012, they're not going to be incorporated, but they're still undecided as to the next System Center release, whether they will become a central, just a single data warehouse. Certainly, to me, it makes perfect sense to have a single data warehouse. But at the moment, no, they're not. They're still separate, but just integrate together. Yeah, mate? No, it won't. It won't support native SAN monitoring. So currently what I would do in that scenario is use some sort of add-on, something like the Quest Management extensions to monitor the SAN. Or it really depends on the SAN too. NetApp have native support for Ops Manager using the Appliance Watch, and that provides really rich performance monitoring of your SAN. So it just depends on the SAN vendor. So the question there was, is there any native support for monitoring Apple products? And at the moment, no, there's not. No, there's not. It would be, again, a third-party add-on. Yeah. Not J2E, no. No, so you do have the, sorry, for which one on Linux? WebSphere on Linux. At the moment, I don't know if that is the case, but there is a roadmap for additional, for those additional J2EE web servers running on top of those cross-platform type operating systems. certainly if, grab my email address, and if you can shoot me an email with those specifics, I'll find out for you and if it's going to be expected by RTM. Yeah. Yeah, mate? So the display name that's returned in the console is supposed to be the friendly name, but at the moment it returns the IP address, and I can only assume that it's a bug in the beta. Yeah, so it's only beta. The CTP one, which was before beta, used to use the friendly name and display name, but for some reason it's only returning the IP, and I didn't get time to chase it up to see why that is. Would be to be the friendly name, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, mate? No, it's rolled into SCOM. Yeah. And in fact, if you're an SMSE or SMSD customer now, you're licensed for AviCode as well. Yeah. Looks like everyone. Okay, I'd just like to thank everybody for attending. Make sure that you fill out your evals. Your feedback is really important to us, and you get the opportunity to win some prizes. So just thank you very much for making the effort to get out of bed early and come along and listen to our session on Ops Manager.